Good afternoon and welcome to yet another installment of the Citizen Talk with Stephen Tau. This is where we invite different people, different guests to come and dissect, you know, different topics that matters to you. And thank you so much for tuning in this afternoon. Well, today on our discussion, we'll be looking at the issue of bullying. And we all know that bullying is considered to be an aggressive behavior where one person or a group of people in a position of power deliberately intimidate and abuse others. Now, to help us understand this subject matter even better, we are joined by Sheikhs Dlutu, who has successfully held programs to curb bullying. Sheikhs, good day to you, sir, and welcome.
Thank you very much, my man. And good day to your listeners. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you so much. It's such a great pleasure having you in our midst today.
Right. Oh. Thank you very much. All right. I'm looking forward to this.
Thank you so much. Let's start at the top.
All right.
When we talk about bullying, what exactly is bullying?
Well, you've just given a very brilliant, I mean, kudos to you, by the way, for that introduction of it. That's exactly what it is. And this is mainly targeted for adults. You know, if you speak about bullying with kids or even with youth at schools, it becomes a bit different. But essentially, that's what it is. I mean, it's an unwanted, repeated behavior that is not welcome, that is done over and over again to someone that is not sort of interested or has invited it into their lives. Mm-hmm. So that's what I try and simplify it for kids so that they understand exactly what it is. But bullying is just not limited to kids, as you've said in your introduction. In the work that I do with corporates and with companies and even in government sector, I find that adults also experience some shape or form of bullying in their adult life.
What sort of leads someone, you know, to become a bully? Yeah. For instance, can someone be born a bully?
I'm an incurable optimist. You know, I don't think people are born bullies. What happened? I believe it's learned behavior. You know, as you grow up, you learn that, okay, I can get away with this. And as a child, I mean, you know, children, you know, you see how far you can go with something, with a particular behavior. So it's learned behavior. It's something that you learn that, okay, this is the way of bullying. And to get back to your question of what causes it, in my experience with working with kids, because I work with kids at primary school level, around grade 6 and grade 7, and then I work with them at high school level from grade 10 all the way up to matric. And I find that really the real cause, the real root cause of it is really a desperate cry and a desperate need for help, for attention. You know, these kids are trying to get attention either of their teachers or of their parents or even of their mates or their peers at school. You know, I'm trying to find a way to be important in my little social group. I'm trying to find a way to be significant in my family or in my school.
To belong.
So, to belong. So I want to stand out. If I'm a child and I don't know healthier, positive ways of standing out, you know, I end up finding these unhealthy behaviors that I need to learn to dominate others. By dominating others, they're going to respect me. I'm going to be important and I'm going to look cool in the gang or in my schoolmates or whatever.
Wow, interesting. And at what age do you start seeing, you know, the signs of a bully in a person?
I think the later age of primary school, hence my focus with grade 6 and 7, you start noticing, you know, that this child, their social skills are a little bit, they need attention, for lack of a better word. You know, they don't necessarily get along with others and so on. And then obviously into adulthood, into their teenagers and up until the adult stages. So yeah, it's little things, you know. There's not one event that you see and you're like, okay, that's it. It's just little thing over a period of time that you need to pay attention to as a child, as a parent, or as a guardian, or as an adult to these kids. You know, a parent was asking me, but Sheikhs, how do I even know my child is being bullied at school? And I said, same thing. You know, children that get bullied, you start seeing that they start withdrawing.
Yeah.
You know, you notice behaviors that's new in the house. They tend to want to lock themselves in the room. You're having a family dinner. They don't join in. Sometimes you even notice physical marks, and then they are quick to respond, to make up an excuse about bumping into a pole, or it's a mark they got from a physical sport or activity, and so on. But as an adult, you need to be paying full attention, because nobody knows your child better than you. You know your child's behavior, you know their patterns, you know their routines when they come from school. As soon as you start noticing some changes, pay attention. Maybe something is going on there, and then do the necessary steps of either speaking to the teacher that is directly linked to them, or speaking to the school principal, or even looking for resources outside the school to try and get them the help that they are needed.
And talking about the important role that the parent has to play at home, or the parents have to play at home, it doesn't end there, because the child has to go to school, right?
Oh, of course.
But also somebody might say, it cannot be the teacher's responsibility, because already they've got, you know, they are under so much pressure.
Yeah, academically.
Academically speaking, yeah, yes.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. We live in very interesting times. I mean, I remember when I went to school, I used to have to walk about 5 kilometers to go and find access to some sort of library. And these kids have tons of libraries in the devices that they have in their hands. You know, things have changed drastically. As much as they have changed for positive, there are some negative things as well that comes with these changes. And this is where things like bullying come up. You know, in the olden days, bullying used to be done physically at school. These kids bully themselves on social media. You know, somebody posts things about someone that they do not ask their permission, or that person doesn't want them to permission their stuff get posted on the internet. So they are dealing with a lot and lots and lots of different challenges. And now these teachers are having to carry this responsibility of not being more than just a teacher, and make sure that they deliver on the mandate they have of achieving the great results and making sure that the academic work is achieved. But they have to become social workers. They have to become psychologists, you know, and this is where I invite parents to step in, because you can't expect everything to get sorted out at school like perhaps it used to be the case in the olden days. You know, as a parent, if you start noticing these things, phone these other resources. I mean, there's a company called Lifeline. You know, it's an NGO, and they specialize in things like this. There's lots of other institutions. Look up. I mean, you go into internet, you go into the YouTube, Google, you know, anti-bullying campaigns, anti-bullying organizations. There's always help out there. And to the kids that are experiencing bullying, you know, there is no excuse for taking your life, like it's been the case in Limpopo with this child who ended up taking their lives because of experiencing bullying at school. There's always help out there. There are people who are willing to help. Talk to someone. If you can't talk to a teacher, talk to the school principal. If you can't talk to the school principal, find some sort of authoritative figure, a guardian, you know, an uncle, an aunt, a neighbor, a friend. Bring this to the attention of someone that is an adult that can do something about it, so that we prevent these things from getting into situations where we have to lose a child's life as a result of this unnecessary behavior.
And surely, Sheikhs, also a bullying or being bullied also has a negative, you know, impact on a child's education, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, listen, if you are not okay in terms of your mindset, if you are not okay psychologically in your headspace, nothing else is going to be okay. Hence my passion for working with people's minds, because I feel like it forms the foundation of all our achievement. You know, you want to be a Serena Williams, do your own research on her. You'll discover that it all starts in the mind. You want to be a Tiger Woods, same thing. LeBron James, Messi, it all starts. So you cannot expect a child who's not okay psychologically or emotionally to achieve great results in class. So this should be the place that we pay the most attention to as adults or educators or parents or guardians, that the well-being of our children in terms of their mental state, in terms of their psychology, in terms of their headspace. We need to be very sort of guardians of it, make sure that it's protected by all means, so that when this child is not okay, you know, we're able to deal with this thing accordingly. Mm-hmm. We provide healthy solutions for them to be able to express whatever frustrations that they are going through in a manner that is healthy for them and their well-being. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are still discussing this issue, a worrying issue of bullying, with Sheikhs Dlutu, who has, graced our studios to come and help us understand, you know, what bullying is all about. Still on the subject, Sheikhs, bullying is not limited to children only, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I have a theory that children who bully become adults who bully. So in the work that we do, you know, we've got the youth and schools programs that we do to try and address the issue of bullying, but also we also do this in the corporate spaces as a result of exactly what I've said, that peer pressure is just not for kids only. You know, adults experience peer pressure in their adult age. It's just that they don't speak about, or it's not a thing to be spoken about. You know, you tell yourself as an adult that this Sunday I'm doing nothing, I'm sitting at home.
Yeah.
Your friends show up with a cooler box.
I was about to say, alcohol always has a way.
You know, it always has a way. You've told yourself that this weekend I'm staying at home with the wife and the kids or whatever. And then there's peer pressure. Your friends come up and do this.
Mm.
And again, with the bullying, I find it's exactly the same thing. Obviously, it just changes its shape, it just changes its form. I mean, in the little work that I've done with the public sector, you have people that uses their positions as sort of leverage into bullying their subordinates into doing things that are not supposed to be done according to organizational policies.
Mm.
They know that this is not supposed to be done. But because this person has got a higher position than me and they hold this position and they tell me that in this company, this is what you are going to do. You are going to give Sheikhs this tender or this is what you are going to do. I'm your boss. I'm telling you to do so. Even though, you know, as far as my qualification are concerned, I'm not supposed to do this work like this. As far as sort of corporate governance is concerned, this is not what I'm supposed to do. But if I don't do it, I stand a chance of being fired or of continually being mistreated in the workspace that I'm in on daily basis because this person is my superior.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sheikhs, we've spent quite some time focusing on, you know, the young ones or children, as well as the role that parents can play.
Right.
In as far as what teachers can do as well, we've touched based on that because they also limited, you know, in terms of, you know.
They can only do so much. Yeah.
So much, yeah. Now, this leads me now to the next question.
Mm.
What role should government be playing, and in particular the Department of Education?
Yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, there's a question that I like asking kids, and I feel like someone, if they were to ask me that question, you know, what would I do? I like asking kids, if you were a president for one day, what would you do? If you were a president for one day, what would you do?
Mm.
I think for me, you know, as far as government is concerned, I would shift the focus from focusing too much on making sure that we've got 5 million kids passing matric, 2 million children passing matric, and really be concerned about the quality of the kids that we are producing, that are coming out of this system. This system. You know, yeah, I feel like our focus is a bit misplaced.
Mm.
You know, it's not in the right place. You know, when you hear a teenager took out their lives, what do they know about life?
Mm.
They have not lived that long for them to, do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But because we are producing these kids that are really desperate for great leadership, are desperate, you know, for the right role models, because we have not shaped them emotionally enough, we have not shaped them psychologically enough, so they don't know how to deal with these problems as and when they come. So my focus would really be on making sure that the mindset of these kids, where their head is at, is in the right place. You know, it's called... And then the second thing, I think it's the EQ, the emotional intelligence style.
Yeah.
Making sure that emotionally they are okay. So IQ and EQ, you know, make sure that intellectually they are okay. Because here's the thing about life that we don't teach kids. Problems are a part of life.
Mm.
Problems, I guarantee you. You and I as an adult, we know this. Mm. But these kids don't know this. Mm. That no matter how dark the night is, the day is gonna come. The sun is gonna rise. Mm. No matter how cold the winter is, there's a summer coming. And they don't know this. When they go through their winters, they think it's the end. You know, so as adults, we need to teach them, to show them. And this is what my work is about. It's about really showing people, listen, it does not matter how dry it is. Mm. The raining season is coming.
And you mentioned earlier on also about how desperate, you know, these kids are. Do you think that desperation is something that also leads them to, you know, becoming angry, angry at everyone else and, you know, resulting in them, you know, doing all sorts of wrong things?
Of course. These kids are desperate, man. I'm fortunate enough to work both in the private sector with these schools and also in the public schools. And our schools in our townships, these kids are desperate. You got a child who has an absent father or mother, who's being raised by a granny with their sasa money, you know, it's, or you've got a child who has to be a parent because they either lost both their parents due to HIV/AIDS or whatever. So these, they're having to be adults. It's like a desperate need for some sort of process or system to try and provide guidance as to how they deal and cope with these life problems.
Wow. Now, question is, what's the solution? How do we, you know, get out of the situation? I mean, in many instances, you know, when one looks at government, for instance, and I'm making an example of, you know, community protests out there. People have been complaining about, you know, lack of water, lack of electricity, you know, potholes on the streets and so forth. But every time, whenever a protest takes place and it becomes violent in most cases, the first people to be deployed to the scene would be the police. And it almost seems as if government is taking more of a reactive approach.
Yes.
They are not proactive.
Right.
Proactively, what can be done?
For me, I think as members of civil society, we need to come to a point of recognizing that leadership is not in title or office.
Mm.
And I'm speaking about personal leadership here. And again, I've got a statement that I believe that before you can lead others, you need to learn to lead yourself and lead your own life. I really believe this, that the politicians are not going to change the lives of our people.
Mm.
Yes, they have a role to play. Yes, there is a need for them. But the real people that I find tend to make difference in society are the ordinary men and the ordinary women of our own country.
Mm.
You know, we've got such a beautiful history if you look back into where we come from, where young kids took in arms in 1976 and said, enough is enough. We are no longer settling for this. I think as society, that's the kind of mindset we need to start sort of holding on to and start adopting. That let's not wait for someone to, there's no Jesus that's coming to save you. You know, whatever it is that you're doing. And again, I'm not saying that politicians don't have a role to play. Of course they do. But let's not wait for them to do things. Everybody, we need to start be asking ourselves, what can I do from where I am?
Mm.
What is it that I know that my community, that people in this society can do? You know, you don't wait for the council to come pick up papers.
Mm.
You know, we can organize ourselves, buy plastic bags and clean those. You know, I mean, there's a statement that I like reminding these kids that I'm working with that my mom used to say to me growing up as a child, because my story is a South African story. It's probably no different than yours.
Mm.
I grew up in a shack, but Umama used to say to us all the time that you don't have to be dirty because you're coming out of a shack.
Sure.
The water is free. It's available. You need to take. So you want to lead from where you are.
Mm.
Always ask yourself, what is it that I can do, you know, in the circumstances that I find myself in, as opposed to waiting for government?
Mm.
You know, I always say in South Africa, it's almost like we're playing this ridiculous game of I'm not going to change until you change.
Mm.
You know, we do this at all political levels, you know, and even in companies, you find the whites are waiting for the blacks to change. The blacks are waiting for the whites to change. The coloreds and the Indians, I have no idea what they're waiting for to change, but they are waiting for someone to change. And then you go to companies. The management is waiting for the staff to change. The staff is waiting for management to change.
Mm.
You know, I mean, children are waiting for parents to change. Parents are waiting for children. Mm. I mean, it's like a ridiculous game of who's got the monkey.
Sure.
You know, do you have the monkey or do I have the monkey? Real and lasting change has to come from within.
Wow.
The changes that we are looking for in our society, in our township, it really needs to come from us. It was Mahatma Gandhi who said, you become the change you want to see in the world.
Mm.
It really has to start with you. And please hear me carefully. I am not saying politicians don't have a role to play. But what you need to ask yourself is, what can I do with the limited resources at my disposal?
Mm.
How can I start taking responsibility for my family? How can I start taking responsibility for my community? How can I start taking responsibility for my country? It's always easy to point a finger at blame at someone else.
Yeah.
But without looking, how am I contributing to this?
Mm-hmm.
When I walk past a house and I see a running tap that is not closed nonstop, I get worried because I know water is a problem in our country.
Yes.
When I go past a school and I see a piece of paper on the floor, on the ground, I get worried. We have all these kids that are late. How about getting them as a form of punishment to clean up the school, the school grounds?
Mm.
You know, do you know? So how do I take responsibility from where I am? How do I really demonstrate what Mahatma Gandhi was speaking about in terms of becoming the change that I want to see instead of waiting for someone else to blame? As they say in Afrikaans, they gaan lang wag. If you are waiting for someone else to, you've got a lot of waiting to do.
Mm, absolutely. Sheikhs, I want us to touch base on another important element here, and that is education.
You know,
how important education is. And I'm asking this, you know, looking back, you know, in the years as we were growing up, we used to have, you know, subjects such as career guidance. Used to have Wednesdays, you know, sports. Wednesdays were meant to be for sports, right?
Yeah.
And that's where, by the way, some of our soccer legends that we have
were produced by such.
Yeah. Right. And talk to us about the importance of education, you know, and the quality thereof.
Yeah. Well, I think we need another whole podcast on that because it's really saddening. It's a sad state of affairs with what's happening, in particular with the public schools.
Mm.
You know, it's very saddening. Nowadays, if you cannot afford to send your child to a private school somewhere, you know, their education, you know, you and I, is compromised.
Mm.
You know, I was saying to you off air that someone that failed matric in the 90s, in 1995, if you compare their results to today's kids, that person is basically passed matric with flying colors.
Yeah.
You know, we are compromising these kids. The way we've dropped the standard of education and the standard of pass rate, because we have an obsession with pushing numbers instead of producing quality kids, you know. So it's really, 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 really sad. You know, I'm more interested in the character of a child than I am in whether they are good at mathematics or biology or whatever. I'm more interested in the content of this child. Do they have substance? Can this person be a positive contributor to society?
Mm.
Can they be an amazing father? Can they be an amazing mother? Can they be an amazing leader? Those are the things that I'm interested in more than the academic stuff. And again, I'm not saying this stuff is not important, but I feel like our obsession and our focus with these numbers is, again, a little bit misplaced.
Mm.
We should be worried about the quality of the kids are coming out of these schools. You know, because when you say the young people are the future, what exactly are you talking about?
Mm.
You know, when you say they are the future, what kind of fathers and mothers are you producing?
Mm.
you know, that only passed matric, but you realize that this person, when winter comes, they cannot last through the winter season.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking metaphorically here. Mm. When the hard and testing times come, they cannot cope.
Mm.
You and I know that our character, our muscle, emotional muscle, gets built by these tough and testing times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. So our education system focus, I feel like it's a bit misplaced like that, in the sense that we really seem to be more obsessed with pushing millions and millions and millions, mm-hmm. but nobody's asking the question, at what expense?
Yeah.
What are we sacrificing? Mm-hmm. What kind of quality? What mm-hmm. happens to these kids as much as they have passed matric? You know, the last time I checked the statistics, less than 10% of them gets absorbed either by university or find employment. Mm. You know, I mean, I don't know what's the current statistics nowadays. That is sad. Mm. I don't know how many kids are going to sit now next month in October to write a matric. If less than 10% of them are either going to go to university or find a job, what happens to the rest of the 90%? And they constitute a huge population of the country. Mm. I think more than 50%, even for 50% of the population, is young people.
Mm.
And they are sitting with matric certificate that are compromised. We are turning tertiary institution into high school. Because when these kids get into tertiary institution, universities have to teach them things that they should have known when they were in high school. So it's really a sad state of affairs. But again, I don't like dwelling on the negative and complaining. The whole thing for me, it's always, what can I do from where I am? How can I start leading from where I am? You know, and really try to provide leadership for my family and leadership for my community and ultimately leadership for my country.
Absolutely. Another issue, Shakespeare, it's about role models,
yes.
Right? Remember when we were growing up, there used to be someone that you used to look up to, right? Mm. But it appears as if we no longer
we don't
have role models.
Yeah.
And I suppose role models cannot only be found in so-called celebrities,
yes.
Right? It needs to also start at home, as a parent.
Yeah. So the issue of role model, that's another big one, you know, because again, with my experience with children, is they're always looking for validation.
Mm.
You know, they're looking for someone to validate them. You know, they're still navigating their way through life. You know, it's always nice to have someone to look up to that shows you that it's possible to get there, that shows you that it's possible to become that. You know, again, to my point, we need to be very active. You know, it's okay to make it out of your community, but I think as citizens, we need to go back to our townships. Mm-hmm. We need to go back to where we come from, and really show these young people that, you know what, you can get into radio if you are interested. Mm-hmm. You can get into podcasting. I'm from this community. This is how I did it. You know, you don't necessarily have to see a soccer star
mm-hmm.
who's on TV. You know, the people that have, and with inverted commas, have made it mm-hmm. out of the townships. We need to be active and be deliberate about that.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go back and find a way, you know, to sort of give back into my community? You know, there's a game I play with my kids. I've got a 29-year-old and a 24-year-old, and I introduced them to this when they were very young, where I would get them to identify at school a child who's in the greatest need. How do you know? Notice this. You can see their school shoes. You can, that they're a bit torn. You can see their shirt.
Mm-hmm.
They're a bit torn. And say, why don't you take your savings and put something together, and then we buy them a new pair of butter shoes or some school uniform, just to get them to be aware that life is not just about yourself and so on. So I think as people that come from these townships, that comes from these areas, we need to be deliberate about going back and making sure that we provide great leadership, we become great role models. And again, I'm not speaking about you spending millions
mm-hmm.
of money and starting a charity. But wherever you come from, everybody, there is a family that you know that even if you sacrificed 200 rand a month, 500 rand a month, 1,000 rand, however much you can afford, and provide and support them, this will go a long way in that family,
mm-hmm.
you know. And another way of doing this, go to your wardrobe, go to your kids' wardrobe. If there is a piece of clothing there that they have not touched for a year, chances are they are never going to wear it. If you have not worn something in all four seasons of the year, mm-hmm. chances you are never going to wear it. Why don't you donate that to someone in your community that deserves it, that needs it? This is how you became role model, you know. And I'm talking about not this fantasized idea of role model. Yeah. I'm talking about really making a difference in the communities where we come from. Instead of waiting again for a messiah or for someone to come save us, we must become agents, active agents of change in our society as individuals.
Wow, absolutely. Now, Sheikhs, lastly, anything that you'd like to add specifically on this issue of bullying? Any message that you have, perhaps an advice?
Yeah, my thing around bullying, one is to parents. Please pay close attention. Once there's a change in behavior in your child, they start withdrawn. Mm. They start not being as happy and bubbly. Pay close attention. If you do not know what to do, go speak to this class teacher. If you're not getting help there, go look for other resources on the internet, online. There is always someone out there who's willing to pay attention. Do not fail your children like that. Let's not fail these young people. Let's find solutions to try and help them cope with this life.
Absolutely. No, thank you so much, Sheikhs, for stopping by. Really, really nice having you with us.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
All right. Folks, thank you so much as well for tuning in. It has been yet another installment of the Citizen Talk with Stephen Tau. Till we meet again between now and then, you take good care of yourselves. Cheers.